Thump thump. Thump thump. Thump thump.
What is that? That's a heartbeat. I took my pulse this afternoon. I took it several times just to see what it was. My doctor would be proud. It rocks on at 58 or 56. We oftentimes want to do things to take care of our heart, and that should be the case. We want to talk this evening about the attack of the heart. It's my understanding when one has a heart attack, there are a number of different things that can happen. The heartbeat will change, the rate will change, the enzymes will be released. Sometimes there's pain and discomfort, and sometimes it's leading up to a bad, bad situation. There is much concern today that exists in the realm of healthcare, and there is much cause for that. But before we get too deep into the sermon, let me point out that we're not going to be spending all of our time this evening on the physical blood pump. We're going to be talking about the Bible heart. Our text is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. And we know that as the Spirit directed the penman to write, he's writing words that would not only serve him if he were to follow them, but also down through the ages, because this is a general admonition for all humanity, if they will read it, if they will heed it, and if they will follow it. This particular passage, "My son, attend to my words." David was talking to Solomon, I think. "Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them in the midst," or keep them in the midst of thine heart. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." None will doubt that the heart is important. There are many people today who seem to be suffering from health issues. It is my observance that many more people are involved with health issues than perhaps any other time that I can remember. Several folks have to go to this doctor for this, another doctor for that, and of course, maybe even a third doctor or a specialist, depending upon what the first two doctors find or don't find. Of course, this is in the realm of physical health. There are those that need these doctors because of health events that have occurred in their lives, because of perhaps things that they have done in their past that have affected their health, or something of that nature. And it is important that we receive the proper care so that our health is good. Our bodies depend upon our health being good. There are situations when one finds it necessary to go to a doctor. For instance, one who suffers angina or chest pains would likely go to a doctor that deals with the heart. We know it to be a cardiologist. They would go for treatment. They would go for recommendations as to how to best treat their specific condition. Not every time that you go to a doctor with chest pains will it be your heart. I remember one time I suffered an anxiety attack. Things were rough at work. My dad had recently died as a result of heart surgery, and I just felt like my heart was being constricted. And I remember hearing people who had had a heart attack said it felt like a band was around my chest and I couldn't take a deep breath. And all I could think was, oh no, I'm way too young for this. So I had Linda take me to the emergency room, and she took me to the emergency room. She was so calm, and she said, "Okay, get in the car, let's go." We got in the car, went to the emergency room, came in, and she said, "He's suffering from chest pains." First thing they did was put nitroglycerin under my tongue. I had the worst headache that I have ever had, and the doctor said that's a good sign. It turns out it wasn't my heart. Like I said, it turned out to be anxiety, and maybe I'd eaten some bad food or something, who knows. But People go to the doctor for their specific condition and situation to find out what treatment is best for their situation. If these deficiencies are not dealt with, especially when it comes to your blood pump, a person might very well suffer a heart attack. Not good. Again, this is in the physical realm. However, we are dual beings. Every one of us here today are dual beings. We have a physical being. We have a spiritual being. The Bible teaches about this, about how that we consists of a physical being that houses the spiritual being while we're here on this planet, while we live here. At some point, that spiritual being will depart, the physical being. But our text speaks of the heart. In verse 23, we read, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." And that heart which is being spoken is the spiritual heart. The mind of man. Now, that blood pump is of vast importance, yet it cannot hear. It cannot think for us. It cannot control us, and it cannot feel for us. This heart, the mind, needs to be protected. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be properly cared for. You know, I said my doctor would be proud. Several times we've gone to the doctor, and he wants to change numbers with me. Well, he doesn't want to change one number because he's younger than I am. And then several times he's asked me, well, do you run? No, not unless somebody's behind me with a big stick. And he says, you have excellent heart rate. And that's why I ask you if you ran. I know I don't run. But we've got to take care of the physical heart. But do we not know the importance of taking care of this spiritual heart? The heart that the Bible talks about? We must strive to protect our hearts. Many people exercise. I thought it was quite interesting that some heart doctor that wrote about heart, physical heart health, and then died while jogging, because he was jogging, to take care of his physical heart. Evidently, he had a condition he wasn't aware that he had. People are walking around today with spiritual conditions that they don't know that they have, and they're heart conditions. And so we want to talk about an attack of the heart. We must strive to protect our hearts. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, we find the Lord speaking. And he says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." We know that he was not talking about the blood pump. The blood pump cannot make you think anything, take any action. But he said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." And we understand how that is applied. For sin, when it is conceived, bringeth forth, or temptation, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I'll get it straight in a minute. So we need to understand we must strive to take care of these hearts. On the other side of that coin, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian brethren, telling them that their Bible heart can be something that can be very good for them. It can be kept. It can be protected. It can be taken care of. He says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Taking the preventative action to make sure that our Bible hearts are well taken care of, that they are protected. Again, go back to our text in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Wanted to point this out in case anybody missed it. When we read in the text, Proverbs chapter 4 verses 20 through 23, the last verse that we read, "Keep thy heart." Notice the way in which we are to keep our heart according to this verse. With all diligence. We must have diligence if we're going to keep ourselves physically, if we're going to keep ourselves spiritually. And diligence means that we will do what is needed in order to protect whatever it is that we're trying to protect. In this case, the Bible heart, the mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, The subject has not changed. It is a different law. The same God issued the law. By the same Spirit delivered that law. The Apostle Paul wrote this down. And we find as he's writing to the Corinthian brethren, he says, "Watch ye." Now we can apply this physically and spiritually. We are to watch what we eat. If we were to just consist of if we were to participate in eating nothing but fried foods all of our lives and carbohydrates and things that were not good, we would find out that soon we would have a heart condition, blood pump. But the Apostle Paul is writing to them, and he's talking about keeping their heart, their Bible heart, in proper shape, because he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." He's telling them how to watch. If we know the Word of God, and we watch and guard against the things that are not taught in the Word of God, then we can stand fast in the faith. And then he says, "Quit you like men, be strong." Act like men. Be strong. Stand up. Take care of that heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, we find the same apostle writing as directed by the Spirit, yet to another group of people. And he's telling them that also to protect their hearts. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Again, the heart, the blood pump, it cannot see. But the heart of man, the mind, the spiritual heart, it can indeed see. It can observe. And it can, if it so desires, follow the Word of God. And in so doing, we are able to protect our hearts. The reason that this is important is because we're responsible for what we think. Have you ever thought about that? Nobody can make you think anything that you don't want to think. Now, some people have come up with kind of unique ways. You know, "I believe it when I see it," or which state is it? Missouri, I think it is. It's the show me state. "When you show it to me, I will believe it." In other words, we have to be convinced. We were talking on the way up here this evening about believing. Why do people believe what they believe? Sometimes they do so because they've been taught that all their lives. We concede to that. We understand that. People believe what they believe sometimes because that's all they've been taught. But that's not the real root of the problem. It's because, just like these people, of blindness of the heart. And she said to me, as we were riding up the road, "Well," I said, "because they don't read the Bible." She said, "You read the Bible." And I said, "Not much. I believe what I had been taught, what I had been told, what everybody in my family believed, if they believed." And I thought, hey, at least I believe. Why? Because I had blindness of the heart. But what gets away, what does away with that blindness? First off, is an understanding that we are responsible for what we think. I'm responsible for what I think, what I believe, what I hold to. And the only way that I can prove what I hold to and what I believe is go to the Word of God. Nothing else will stand. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." But in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 7 through 15, we'll find those brethren who were being tempted to allow an attack to happen upon their heart, their Bible heart. They were being warned. The penman, directed by the Spirit, wrote, beginning in verse 7, chapter 3, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." They understood this language. They knew what the provocation was. That's when the people provoked God by doing against what God would have done. And he's saying, harden not your hearts. Don't allow your hearts to become blinded. He said, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. That's for those who didn't understand when that was. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I'm going to stop right there a minute. If we take a physical situation like Israel traveling in the wilderness for 40 years because of disobedience, and God telling them right here in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. What should it make us think from a spiritual application? If we allow ourselves to be blinded by not thinking or allowing someone else to be responsible for what we think, then we err in our heart. We have not known the ways of God, and then we will not enter into that rest. He continues on in verse 12 and says, take heed, brethren. Keep in mind, these people were already Christians. These people had obeyed the gospel. Yes, they were Jews from a national standpoint. That's why they were called Hebrews. Abraham was called a Hebrew, and he was the father of the Jewish nation through Isaac and Jacob. And these people were called Hebrews, and this church to whom he was writing was the Hebrews church, or the church where the Hebrews met. And they were being tempted to go back under the old law and do away with a spiritual application. And he said, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Who was it the warning was given to? Each one of them. You take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, while you're at it, help your brethren along the way. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. The whole reason that I went through that is so that we would understand that 9 times out of 10, people will not get it on their own. Rare is the situation in which one will sit down by themselves, study the Bible, compare it against what they have been taught all their life, and come to the conclusion, I'm not doing it right. They need help. Rare is the situation in which people in the church, God's children, those who have been baptized into Christ, will sit down and they will dig and they will find and think for themselves. It's very rare. But we are responsible for what we think. Going back to Proverbs, this time we'll go to chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. And we'll see that many times what we think is because what we are taught. But we are responsible for taking that information, digesting it, if you will, and then determining whether or not we're going to believe it, whether or not we're going to use it. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4, beginning, he taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. We enjoy watching certain movies, a series of movies, and I've spoke of them before. Jesse Stone, and several neat little sayings come from those movies. And oftentimes, the deputy reminds someone that the information is out there, you just have to let it in. The Bible is out there, we just have to let it in. We have to retain the words when they are taught properly. We have to commit, keep the commandments of God. And in so doing, we will be responsible for what we think, because we will think along the lines that God would have us think. We will get wisdom. We will ask God for wisdom. We will gain understanding, because with the word, when we read it, when we study it, when we dig deep into it, and then as we ask God for wisdom, we will grasp what is being said. And if we stay in it, we'll forget it not. neither will we decline from the words that are taught relative to the Word of God. Why is that important? Yes, we're comparing, if you will, the physical heart and the spiritual heart, but in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, we see why it's so important. We'll find some other verses as well. But in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write to those Roman brethren and to remind them of what type of people they should be. He says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Have a conversation with someone, and in the back of your mind, take out your little mental notepad and write down there what those people talk about. What are you going to find out? You're going to find out what they mind. Are it the things of the flesh? Oh, if they're minding the things of the flesh, what does that mean? Sometimes it means they are after the flesh. If they mind the things of the Spirit, they're after the Spirit. And of course, we know the things of the Spirit are the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, we see the same thing. We are responsible for what we think. It's important as we avoid an attack of the heart. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, those brethren were told by the same pen, "Set your affections on things above. If there be any good thing, if there be any things that are pure and lovely, think on these things." That's what he was telling the Colossians brethren. That's what he was telling as he wrote, directed by the Spirit, to other brethren. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, we also see that he was telling them they are responsible for what they think. That's how to not have an attack of the heart from a spiritual standpoint. He told them, casting down imaginations. I've read that passage a number of times and wondered, what's this talking about? Imaginations. Leave a man to himself in his own mind, he'll conjure up all sorts of evil. That's been evident all the way from back in the beginning, when every thought of man's imagination was evil continually. He said, casting down imaginations, casting down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, if it's not for God, it's against God. And we got to put it out. We got to set it aside. We got to move it away from us. And do what? Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What is that telling us? It is telling us that we have full control of our choice. We can choose what we think. We can choose what we believe. And we can ward off that attack of the heart from a spiritual standpoint. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 23, we find the Lord speaking to those people, telling them things that are relative to the coming kingdom. He came to prepare Israel for the kingdom, to receive the kingdom. And he said to them, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What was he saying? Let me break it down for you. The thing that you focus on, the thing that you think on, that's what you're going to strive to do. That's what you're going to spend all your time on. That's what's going to be your treasure. He goes on to tell them, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness." Again, he's talking about thinking. He's talking about the spiritual heart. If you think about evil things, if you think about worldly things, if you think about carnal things, then your life is going to be one that is evil, one that is worldly, one that is carnal. He said, "If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" There's many other ways to say the same thing, but I want to point out one thing else that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. I like this scripture from the standpoint when people say, you know, it's not nice to call names when you're calling out the name of a false teacher. Why, Jesus stood right up in front of his brethren. And what did he call them? He said, "Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking." Then he explains it in verse 35. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." The same thing he said in Matthew chapter 6 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So we are responsible for what we think. We must strive to protect our hearts. But how do we protect our hearts? Now, from a physical standpoint, we understand we eat right, we exercise, we perhaps take supplements and vitamins and that sort of thing. And yes, genetics comes into it. But we have the responsibility. How do we protect our hearts? In Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, we find that the Apostle Paul was in a situation in which he was required to make defense of his situation. Notice the words that the Spirit gave him to use in verse 16, Acts chapter 24. "And herein do I exercise myself." I think that word was used for a reason. He says to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, just because a person doesn't think that they're doing anything wrong, we know that's not the standard. Paul had a clear conscience when he was persecuting the church, because then he believed that's what he was doing. He was following that which he had previously been taught. His heart had been misdirected. But here he's speaking about, while serving God, while doing what God would have, he exercised himself, he put forth the effort, he protected his heart, he built it up to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. In other words, doing things that were not offensive to God and at the same time not offensive to man. He wasn't breaking any laws, not the laws of man, nor of the laws of God. Then we come to one of my favorite verses, because I don't like to exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. I go on websites all the time. And I listen to preachers. And sometimes they have video. It's done on YouTube or some kind of magic that they have. I don't know what it's called. But I see that many preachers fall into the same category as I relative to exercise. And I think that a lot of them would have this verse as their favorite verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." I love it. I don't like to exercise. I don't mind working. I just don't want to exercise. But that's not what he was addressing. Notice he was doing a comparison between bodily exercise and godliness. When it all comes down to it, if you have the heart of a racehorse, because you have exercised, because you have jogged, because you have done all these things, and you die lost, there's no profit. So we see what he's saying here. "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Notice this: "having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." It's important that we protect our hearts, our Bible heart, and that we use godliness to exercise ourselves to always be in the right relationship with God and the right relationship with our fellow men. What will we do in exercising ourselves as we protect our hearts? Well, Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 tell us. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth." It's important that we understand that the blood pump that God has provided for these bodies is important. But more important than that is setting our goal on something that's beyond this life, that's after this life, that after this body in its frailness ceases to work. Set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above. And that's why it's important. This was being written to Christians. Christians also need to never fall into the trap of thinking, I'm in great shape. I used to kind of joke, we have to go to the doctor for some reason, or need to go to the doctor, or every once in a while go and just get blood work and check up and everything. I go back to work and say, what did the doctor say? Or what did the doctor say? I would kind of joke with him and say, you know, the doctor said I'm in great shape for a man twice my age. Y'all think about that one for a second. But what if we had a spiritual health checkup? What kind of shape would we be in? What kind of shape would our heart be in? Would we be right on the verge of an attack of the heart? Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Remember, the earth and the works therein are going to be burned up. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. This is the Apostle Paul again writing, directed by the Spirit to the church at Philippi. He told them, be careful for nothing, which means be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, there are things on this earth that we cannot do anything about. And the things you can't do anything about, what are you to do about them? Nothing. It's not going to help you. It's not going to solve anything. But he said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Things of this world are not true. Whatsoever things are honest. The things of this world are not honest. Whatsoever things are just, and this world in itself is not just. Whatsoever things are pure, nobody's going to question that. This world is not pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Listen, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Protect those hearts. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Remember, he's writing this to the brethren at Philippi. They had seen him. They had heard him. They had received things from him, delivered to him by the Spirit. He said, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We need to protect our hearts so that we not have an attack of the heart. And let us turn to Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. We would be remiss if we did not look to Psalms 119 when we're talking about the heart, the Bible heart. So many wonderful things in the Psalms. So many wonderful things in this particular Psalm. But I just want to look at a couple of verses. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How did he seek the Lord? With my whole heart. He sought the Lord. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. All of these things point to the Bible heart, the mind. He's hidden the word of God in his heart that he might not sin against him, therefore protecting that heart so that he not have an attack of the heart. In Proverbs, we go back to our text. Verses 20 through 22, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Kind of like the Lord told Israel how to teach their children. Teach them to the children diligently. As you are in the house, as you walk by the way, as you lie down, all throughout the day. Perhaps if we're doing a checkup, we need to ask ourselves, does our heart find joy in seeking the Lord? Does our heart find joy in coming to worship? Gathering ourselves together with brethren to talk about the Bible, to discuss the Word of God? If we cannot find joy there, perhaps we're about ready to have a heart attack. Perhaps we need a health checkup. there perhaps are those who have not had their heart purified, the sin cut away from their heart, the Bible heart. God wants everyone to have a pure heart, and it has to become pure before we can strive to keep it that way. The only way that it can become pure is to be obedient to God. Jesus has told us that he was coming to die for the kingdom, to purchase the church. He told us that he would send his Spirit to his apostles, that they would be guided into all truth. And part of that truth is what tells us how to protect our heart. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we find that these apostles wrote as the Spirit directed them, and relative to hearing, the Apostle Paul wrote the Roman brethren, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We also know that we are to believe, because Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Having heard and believed, a person then is ready to repent. You cannot keep doing the same things and expect different results. It's the same thing physical. You go to your doctor, and your doctor says, you've got to quit this, or you're going to have a heart attack. You've got to turn away from that. So we should understand what repent means. Acts 17 and verse 30, we are told in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We also to confess. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said to his apostles, but whom say ye that I am? And that confession was given. When Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And one must be baptized into Christ. You know, a lot of times people think baptism is optional. In Acts chapter 10, verse 48, we find that it's not. Because there we see, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Their hearts were right. They prayed that he remain with them several days. One must also, in order to not have an attack of the heart from a spiritual standpoint, remain faithful unto death. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He protected his heart. He took care of his heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, in writing to Timothy, the Spirit had him write, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. How's your heart? Have you heard, believed, repented, confessed, and have been baptized? If so, you're on the right track. But have you remained faithful unto death? If indeed you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to do so tonight. If you have obeyed the gospel and for whatever reason you've allowed your heart to become in danger of an attack, God's provided. It tells us in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 what an erring Christian is to do. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. If your heart needs treatment, you need to come tonight. We stand ready to assist you. We're going to stand and sing the selected song. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come? Let us stand together.